So the title of my talk today is A Piece of the Whole, P-E-A-C-E, A Piece of the Whole. And I am talking about wholeness and how a realization of our own innate wholeness is the very foundation for us creating and experiencing inner peace. Because when we know that we are whole, and when we know that we are enough, and then when we are anchored in that knowing of our wholeness and our enoughness, when we are anchored in knowing that that wholeness is the very essence of who we are, because we are incarnations of the divine, then we feel at peace, regardless of what's going on out there. Then we experience peace. In that realization of our own inherent and innate and eternal wholeness, then we have a sense of peace and that all is well with our soul and that all is well in the moment that we find ourselves in. And when we are there, that means then that there is nothing else that we need to do or nothing else that we need to be in order to be enough and in order to be okay, in order to be complete, because it comes from within us. And you know what else happens when we are anchored in our own wholeness and in our own enoughness and in our own inner peace? It invites it forward in other people that we are with. And so there was a story in the Oprah magazine that speaks to this. She says, I have a friend that I'll call Emma, whose standards for herself are so high she almost never meets them. Few humans ever could. Recently, while chatting with some other friends of Emma's, I discovered that we all feel anxious in her presence, afraid of not measuring up. Though Emma never judges anyone but herself, her friends unconsciously reflect that self-judgment. Self-loathing drags her loved ones down even as she tries to cheer them up. If you sacrifice yourself out of love, your nearest and dearest won't feel this love. They will feel what you feel about yourself. The strange truth has something to do with mirror neurons, brain cells that play a role in our ability to share other people's emotions. It takes the golden rule to a whole new level. Feel about yourself what you would have others feel for themselves. What we feel about ourselves energetically goes out from us, and other people respond to that with like. You ever find yourself being around someone who's like anxious and you find yourself getting anxious, or someone who's really depressed and you feel yourself kind of getting down? That's those mirror neurons that we all have that mirror what's going on out there. And so if you're anything like me, perhaps you didn't grow up with this really strong sense of your own wholeness or your own enoughness. And sometimes, because if you didn't grow up with a really strong sense of your own wholeness, we still have moments when we experience that today. Sometimes when we kind of get off track. I know that almost every single Sunday when we are driving home from church, I ask Colleen, so how was the service? Because when you're up here and you're delivering it, you don't really get a sense of how it is when you're out there and watching. And so she'll give me feedback about what was good and what kind of could have used some tweaking or whatever. And oftentimes I'm just looking for that feedback of how to make this a really great service. And there are other times when I notice what I'm really looking for is for her to pat me on the back. Good job. You did a good job today. It's that approval that I'm wanting from outside of me. But if I am and when I am anchored, really anchored in my own wholeness and in my own enoughness, then the only thing that matters to me is that I am expressing my purpose, which is giving you a new tool or a new insight or a new way of seeing something so that it helps you make your life better. I am just creating a container for you to discover something that is already inside of you. And if I'm already in my own wholeness, that's all I need. And then I don't need any feedback from anybody else on the outside because I already know if I'm on purpose. And when I'm on purpose, then I feel absolutely fulfilled, regardless of what's going on outside of me. But what happens if we aren't really anchored in our own wholeness? Then we feel like we're not enough. Then we feel like something is missing inside of us. And when we aren't enough, two different things happen. One is we feel like people must approve of us, or people must like us, or people must agree with us on the outside so that we feel like we're enough. And the other thing that happens when we don't feel like we are enough is we insist that other people outside of us conform to the way we think things should be, the way that we think they should be, the way that they believe, the way that they think, the way that they act should line up with what we think. And the closer that person is to us, the more addicted we are to that. When it's your kids, you think your kids must speak in a certain way and they must behave in a certain way and they must do certain things. Or your spouse must act in a certain way around your friends or dress in a certain way when you go out. That's all about my wholeness and enoughness comes from out here instead of inside here. So until we believe that we are enough on the inside, we want to then control what's going on the outside because that makes us feel safe and that makes us feel that all is well and that then gives us a sense of peace. And that is coming from the outside. So we spend our time trying to control things so that we feel okay. There's a quote, and I don't know who said this, and I love this quote. It says, "Your unhappiness equals the size of the lie you are telling yourself." When you're telling yourself the lie that your peace is reliant on what's going on outside of you, or your sense of well-being is reliant on what's going outside of you, that creates the unhappiness. Because it's not the truth. And so we spend that time trying to control things in order to feel okay, in order to be at peace, in order to have that sense that all is well. I have a friend whose name is Connie, and she got divorced a few years ago, and she and her ex-husband have a 4-year-old son. And they've really dedicated themselves, after they split up, to really raising him in a really healthy way and to co-parent in ways that are really good for him. And they have dedicated themselves to clear communication with each other. Well, he has a new girlfriend now that he's moved in with, and they've actually had a child together. And she really wants for her son to do really well in that home when she's there. And of course she wants him to like her and to get along and for things to be well, but she recognized, like, the first time that they came over to pick up her son together, she didn't want to go out to the car and meet that other woman. Yet, what she really wants is to let her son know it's okay to like her. But it's only when we come from our own wholeness, anchored in that, that then we're okay with what's going on here. Then the new girlfriend isn't a threat. But when she's not in her own wholeness, then the girlfriend's a threat. Maybe he's going to like her more than he likes me, or she's going to be more fun, or whatever the stories are that we make up in our heads about how things are going to be. Gandhi says that each one of us has to find their peace from within, and peace to be real must be unaffected by outside circumstances. That's the peace that we want. That's the peace that we want to drop into and be anchored in. Peace comes from inside of us. It doesn't come from out here. Feeling okay about ourselves doesn't come from out there. It comes from in here. Our enoughness comes from in here. Our okayness comes from in here. When we uncover or discover our own innate wholeness, then we automatically feel at peace. And then we automatically know that we are enough. There's a story in Chicken Soup for the Soul that is a great depiction of this. And it's called The Golden Buddha. He says, in the fall of 1988, my wife Georgia and I were invited to give a presentation on self-esteem and peak performance at a conference in Hong Kong. Since we had never been to the Far East before, we decided to extend our trip and visit Thailand. When we arrived in Bangkok, we decided to take a tour of the city's most famous Buddhist temples. Along with our interpreter and driver, Georgia and I visited numerous Buddhist temples that day. But after a while, they all began to blur in our memories. However, there was one temple that left an indelible impression on our hearts and minds. It is called the Temple of the Golden Buddha. The temple itself is very small, probably no larger than 30 feet by 30 feet. But as we entered, we were stunned by the presence of a 10.5-foot solid gold Buddha. It weighed over 2.5 tons and is valued at approximately $196 million. It was quite an awesome sight. The kindly, gentle, yet self-imposing solid gold Buddha staring down at us. As we immersed ourselves in the normal sightseeing tasks, taking pictures while oohing and aahing over the statue, I walked over to a glass case that contained a large piece of clay about 8 inches thick and 12 inches wide. Next to the glass case was a typewritten page describing the history of this magnificent piece of art. Back in 1957, a group of monks from a monastery had to relocate a clay Buddha from a temple to a new location. The monastery was to be relocated to make room for the development of a highway through Bangkok. When the crane came to lift the giant idol, the weight of it was so tremendous that it began to crack. What's more, the rain began to fall. The head monk, who was concerned about damage to the sacred Buddha, decided to lower the statue back to the ground and cover it with a large canvas tarp to protect it from the rain. Later that evening, the head monk went to check on the Buddha. He shined his flashlight under the tarp to see if the Buddha was staying dry. As the light reached the crack, he noticed a little gleam shining back and thought it strange. As he took a closer look at this gleam of light, he wondered if there might be something underneath the clay. He went to fetch a chisel and a hammer from the monastery and began to chip away at the clay. As he knocked off shards of clay, the little gleam grew brighter and bigger. Many hours of labor went on before the monk stood face to face with the extraordinary solid gold Buddha. Historians believe that several hundred years before the head monk's discovery, the Burmese army was about to invade Thailand, then called Siam. The Siamese monks, realizing that their country would soon be attacked, covered the precious golden Buddha with an outer covering of clay in order to keep their treasure from being looted by the Burmese. Unfortunately, it appears that the Burmese slaughtered all the Siamese monks, and the well-kept secret of the golden Buddha remained intact until that fateful day in 1957. As we flew home on Cathay Pacific Airlines, I began to think to myself, we are all like that clay Buddha, covered with a shell of hardness created out of a false sense of self. Yet underneath each of us is a golden Buddha, a golden Christ, or a golden essence, which is our real self. Much like the monk with the hammer and the chisel, our task now is to discover our true essence once again. We all are that golden light of the divine at our core, at our essence. And it gets covered up with all those things we were told as kids, that you weren't good enough, that you couldn't do this right, and we take that on to believe that there's something wrong with us, and then the experiences that we have in life where we get wounded, all of those things start covering up that light that is the very essence of who we are. And so for me, this spiritual path and this path of growth has tremendously been about discovering my own innate wholeness, my own essential essence, and uncovering that. because absolutely it had been covered up with all sorts of stuff, and I had no idea that was in there when I was younger. And so discovering that wholeness has been such an amazing gift and such a blessing and such an adventure. You know, it's step by step by step, process by process, and reading and meditating and going to classes, and all of those things add to that. Dean Ornish says, the more inwardly defined you become, the less you need. The less you need, the more power you have. The more inwardly defined you become, the less approval you need from people outside of you. The less you need the world to match your preferences in order to be okay. The more inwardly defined you become, the easier it is to be anchored in your own peace. Because then there's nothing that anyone can take from outside of you that threatens your own sense of well-being or your own enoughness or your own groundedness and anchored in spirit and in your own peace. That is the foundation of wholeness. And when we live there, we automatically feel at peace. That inner identity of that essence of who we are, being the foundation of who we are, is like building your house on a solid rock foundation with having solid steel footings that go down into that rock. Then when things are going on in the world, you have this solid grounding. You're solidly set in that. But when we rely on the outside world in order to tell us that we are enough or that we are okay, it's like building your house on sand and like building that substructure out of twigs. And then it just takes one wind to come along and blow the whole thing and it comes crashing down to the ground. You ever experience that? One little thing happens in your life and you kind of fall apart. When our peace and well-being is reliant on our inner beingness, then the wind comes and the house doesn't get knocked down. We are able to stand firm. That sense of well-being doesn't crumble. And so Ernest Holmes, who is the founder of this philosophy, says, if one would take time once a day at least to let go of all that is not true and lay hold of reality with a capital R, let go of doubt, distrust, worry, condemnation, and fear, and lay hold of life in its expression of beauty, truth, and wholeness, his mental congestion would be cleared and peace would result. If we would take time once a day to disidentify with the outer world, to disidentify with all the things that are going on in our lives and all of the problems that we have and all of the worries that we continue to think about and all the things that bring us down. If we took time once a day to disidentify with that and instead to identify with spirit, to identify with that infinite presence of love and of peace and of good and of wholeness and of power, we would be at peace. If we would take once a day to disidentify, that means sitting in meditation, where all of a sudden you become the observer and you can witness your life as it is on the outside. Then we experience our own innate wholeness and our own innate enoughness. Like I said, when we're anchored in that wholeness, it doesn't matter then what others say or what others think or what others do. We are here, home, anchored, and enough. And when we come from that sense of inner peace, and when we come from that sense of our own inner well-being and our own innate wholeness, what happens is we automatically shine our light when we go out into the world. We automatically bring our best self to life. We automatically bring our best self to the world. I think that is what is happening for so many of us in this room. you notice that you're getting more generous and more kind and more loving. It's all about being identified with your spiritual essence. It's all about being identified with that which can never be touched or harmed or injured, that. And you know, yesterday we went and did Hug Day at Lakewood Center Mall. We hold signs that say free hugs, and 8 of us went. And I've never hugged so many people in my life. We must have hugged 200 people each, and it was so fabulous. People come running at you with open arms, and kids come running at you with open arms, and some people are shy, and they know they have this rule in their head, you're not supposed to hug strangers, and then, okay, and they come over and hug you, and it was so much fun. And Yvonne says to me last night what a great time she had. She thanked me for putting it together, that it was a true experience for her of oneness. That's what happens. We automatically come from love and oneness and connection when we're anchored in our own spirit. Automatically. And then everyone is served. We are served, and everyone else that we come in contact with is served. Ernest Holmes says, there is that within every individual which partakes of the nature of the universal wholeness, and insofar as it operates, is God. When we come from our own innate wholeness and our own spirit, we come to the world as a conduit for God to express itself. For love and peace and wholeness and bounty and joy and opulence and oneness to be expressed. And so my invitation to you is to take time daily to disidentify with this material world and with your material life and with the things that weigh heavy on you and your concerns and your worries and your doubts and your fears. Disidentify and identify instead with your own spirit, with your own divine nature, with that infinite presence that lives and moves and has its beingness within you. Take time every day to identify with that, to touch your own divine nature. And know that you are not your body, and you are not your thoughts, and you are not your traumas, and you are not your experiences that you've had. You are not your history. You are the infinite clothed in human form. Here, shining that light in the world as only you can do it. Your own unique way of shining that light in the world that no one else can do like you do. And what a blessing that is to you and to everyone around you. And so again, thank you for walking this path, and blessings to every single one of you on this path of self-discovery, self with a capital S, on this discovery, this path of discovering your own divine nature and creating your most magnificent life. Blessings to all of you. Thank you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so how good it is just to take this moment and to turn our attention from this material world and from all that is around us to this invisible realm of spirit, this place where we can sense and feel and know that spirit is right here, closer than our very breathing. Turn within to that kingdom of heaven that already resides within us, for here is the presence of the infinite in its allness, in its fullness, in its wholeness. How good it is to recognize that presence that is all around us everywhere we go, in everything we do, for there is only this one, here expressing itself as all that is. And so it is from this center point of God that I speak this word, that yes, indeed, we are blessed right here today. That we walk with this presence and we walk in this presence and we are filled with this presence, whose very nature is wholeness itself. here, filled with that infinite potentiality, filled with that boundless good, filled with peace and love and beauty and magnificence. And so I know that we are here sharing this light and this love with all those that are around us. How grateful we are to celebrate this Thanksgiving week, all of the good that we have in our lives. And so we continue to share that and to shine that light in the world. And as we open ourselves to that divine presence, it comes flowing in a most magnificent way so that we are filled to overflowing with all the good that we could ever desire. That presence here expressing itself as wholeness in our bodies, as wholeness in our minds, as wholeness in our lives. What a blessing it is. And so we open our hearts and our minds, and in flows that opulent good. And so we, just here today, say thank you, God, for all of this, for this bounty that we live in. And so it is with a grateful heart that I release this prayer into that creative womb of the universe, knowing that it is unfolding itself as such now, simply because it is the truth, and simply because we have said yes to that. And so I release this prayer, and I let it be, and so it is.